Well, we're talking about working while you're sick and does it really pay off? This is our health article for this month, and it is the 30th of July. And we are on page 43 of your Advanced Studio Classroom magazine. So perhaps you can turn to that now and also find it on your digital device. And I have Simon and Lois with me today in the studio, and my name is Linda. And Simon, yesterday we talked about presenteeism and absenteeism.
Yeah, that's right. One of them is a real word, the other one is not, and that's why when it first appeared on page 42, it was in quotes. So the real word, absenteeism, its root is the word absent, which means not there or not present. And so absenteeism is when people are not at work or school or in the place they should be when they really should be there. So, for example, people skipping school or pretending they are sick to not go to work. And the opposite word then, this fake word, presenteeism, is using the root word present, meaning at school or at work or in the place you're supposed to be when you shouldn't be. And so people coming to work when they're sick.
And Lois, what are your feelings about this? What are your feelings about presenteeism?
Well, I said if you're sick, I want you to stay away. If you're truly sick, I guess I give people the benefit of the doubt. I think most people where we work here, if they're away, they truly are sick. Now, maybe I'm being deceived. I don't know. I hope not. But I want you to, you're sick, you got a fever, please don't come in. And as you said, Linda, if you really shouldn't come in for 24 hours after that fever broke. And that's important to remember. And then, you know, absenteeism, well, you have so many sick days, and if you are sick, please take the one or two you need.
Yes, and because she just used that word contagious, which means that you will give it to somebody else. And in doing that, then you will contaminate the place that you are working in. And that was one of our vocab words from yesterday, which means to make something poisonous. That just means to spread your disease.
Right.
So today we're going to be looking a little bit more at this issue. And before we get started, why don't we do the reading? We're going to start on the first column on page 43. We're going to read that first little bit there.
Ill employees make more mistakes, communicate less effectively, and produce lower quality work. Presenteeism among pharmacists, one study found, resulted in more prescription errors. Downsizing actually increases absenteeism. In a real twist, research shows a higher propensity for medical workers to be on the job, even with contagious illnesses. Job insecurity, strict attendance policies, teamwork, demanding clients, and a positive attendance culture are among the factors promoting presenteeism. That, in turn, can exacerbate existing medical conditions, damage the quality of work life, and lead to impressions of ineffectiveness because of declines in productivity. "There's one thing we seem to know about this," John said. "In the aggregate, it appears that a lot more productivity is lost to presenteeism than absenteeism."
So what happens when people who are sick come to work? There are several, I thought this was really interesting, there are like really three effects.
Right, it said that they make more mistakes, communicate less effectively, and produce lower quality work. I was going to add a fourth one to that. They lack patience usually. When you're sick, you're not usually very patient with anybody because you have you feel irritated. Mm-hmm. And you're not in your normal state.
Okay. Well, I think that this producing lower quality work is a direct result of making more mistakes, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all tied up together.
When they give us an example of that in the next sentence, they say that presenteeism among pharmacists, so that's people who give you your medicine when you're sick, presenteeism results in more prescription errors. So they're giving you the wrong medicine or the wrong amount of medicine or whatever.
Right.
Not something you want happening, really.
Yes, you always check your medicine when you go to a pharmacy.
And, you know, once again, this is falls under the kind of health and safety umbrella when you think of a pharmacist. And whenever I think of people that work in health or safety, I truly don't want them working when they're sick.
And we see that this next sentence, downsizing, actually increases absenteeism. Downsizing means that you are going to make your company smaller. You're reducing the number of people that work there. And it's kind of interesting. It says that when a company downsizes, then people start taking days off. It doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Wow, I thought it would be the opposite.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense because small companies don't have very strong HR policies. So, for example, if you work for a big company and you're late, say, 30 times, you're just fired. Mm. Like, it's their policy, right? Whereas if you're working for a small company and you're late 30 times, your boss, you know, might consider other things like when you show up, you do really good work, so they're hesitant to fire you and things like that. But also you would have things like your boss or the person who has the power to send you home can give you the day off, and you know that person much better. So you can just kind of call and say, like, I'm sick, and then they say, take the day off. So I can see absenteeism being higher with small companies.
Well, for small companies, but this is actually after a company has downsized.
Mm-hmm.
I would think, to me, I would feel more nervous that I'm going to be the next person being laid off.
If you're in a company with 1,000 employees, maybe you go, well, they won't notice. But if you're in a company with only 25, they're going to notice if you're there or not there.
Well, I think they're looking at numbers probably in a larger company. And in a smaller company, as you're saying, you know people.
Yeah.
So, very interesting sentence. But then we have the next sentence says, in a real twist, research shows a higher propensity for medical workers to be on the job, even with contagious illnesses. What do you think of that sentence?
It means doctors don't get to take the day off,
right,
basically. And neither do nurses or medical secretaries or laboratory people.
Even when they're contagious.
Workers. Yeah.
A surgeon, what do they say? A surgeon works, whether he's sick or not.
Yeah. So this is kind of scary. And I think we should take a look at this term. Research shows a higher propensity. What does this term mean, a propensity for something?
It means like likelihood or a trend, basically. So basically what they're saying there is it is more likely that medical workers will be on the job.
I think this is, a culture within a field, you know, because there's nobody to replace them.
Right.
Well, and often they're self-employed. Like, so for example, doctors will have kind of their own clinic, right? And medical staff are also basically an essential service. So when you're sick, you want them to be there. And if they're not there when you feel like you need them a couple of times, you're going to find a different doctor. So.
Right.
Yeah.
I always think they should have, you know how you have substitute teachers? I always think they should have substitute nurses because you need them all the time.
Nail that, yeah. Well, we also see in the next paragraph what are some of the factors that are promoting presenteeism, which we've talked about before. That means being there while you're sick. And I think that these are very good and pressing issues that people really have on their mind. And the first one is job insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you going to be able to keep your job? And what are some of the other ones here?
Well, it says strict attendance, policies, teamwork, demanding clients, and a positive attendance culture are among the factors promoting presenteeism. I know for something like my husband and I have to deal with an accountant back in Canada. And if I phone her up and she's not available when we're there, because she's sick and maybe it happens two or three times, I'm going to go right away, hey, dear, we need a different accountant. So,
yes.
You know, because she's a professional, she's in a demanding role, she's in a necessary role. So I guess depending on what you do, too, there's this sense of kind of job I have, I really have to be there.
That's right. And notice that some of it comes from the job itself, the attendance policies, the teamwork, because Simon has talked about this. If you are part of a team and you're not doing your part for some project, then it's at a standstill. And you don't want that to happen. You don't want to be the one responsible for that project being stopped right there.
And you know, Linda, another career they say work sick lots is actual chefs. I don't mean cooks. I mean chefs.
Mm-hmm.
Because their restaurants go by their name.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes that's a little, oh, he's working and he's not well.
Right. Well, let's see that this can exacerbate existing medical conditions. And if you exacerbate something, that means that you actually are making it something that is bad. You're making it even worse. And that's kind of a hard word to say, exacerbate, and it's not that commonly used. But so if you're sick and you go to work, you're exacerbating maybe an underlying medical condition that you have or the illness that you that exists, and it's going to get worse. And then it also damages the quality of work life and leads to the impressions of ineffectiveness because, you know, your productivity is not that great.
Yeah.
It all kind of makes sense.
I think that's pretty pretty common sense stuff that we found in that paragraph. The real twist, I think, is probably in the last paragraph. That's sort of the exciting jewel in this reading, right? It says there's one thing we seem to know about this in the aggregate, which means when we consider the bigger picture, we look at all of the different aspects of this problem at the same time. So in the aggregate, it appears that more productivity is lost to presenteeism than absenteeism.
Wow.
And you wouldn't expect that.
No, you would not. That's quite shocking.
But actually, the author said that yesterday as well. Mm-hmm. You know, they've shown this in other studies as well, and this study then is backing that one up, or this research is backing that one up. So overall, you know, if you go to work sick, you're not going to be as well off as if you stayed home, and neither is your company.
The question is then, like, what is it that people are gaining from presenteeism?
Well,
because there's got to be a trade-off, right? So the company might be losing productivity, but the employee might be benefiting socially, right? So the team thinks more highly of them, or they might be benefiting in terms of their own personal career. The boss is pleased with their attendance record. And
well, I make my team, if my team members are sick, I make them go home because we've talked about this. I don't want to get what they have. They are not really doing themselves or anybody else any good. But I think it's the overall, if you work in a big company and your boss walks through or your manager walks through and sees you there, yeah, it leaves a whole different impression than if you're
I think the key, though, to that is you might make your employees go home, your team members go home, but there is still presenteeism because they've still showed up.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So they're getting some benefit out of having showed up. That,
loyalty.
Yeah. All of these things we've talked about.
Okay, well, let's go on to our next section here. We're now going to talk about lack of policy.
Lack of policy. While many companies still lack absentee policies beyond forbidding it, few companies have presenteeism policies, despite growing evidence of its impact on productivity, said Johns, who holds a PhD in organizational psychology. Excitement concerning the subject has been fueled by claims that working while ill causes much more aggregate productivity loss than absenteeism, states a study he authored in the Journal of Organizational Behavior. Managing presenteeism effectively would be a distinct source of competitive advantage.
So if we look at the structure of this sentence, it says, while many companies still lack absentee policies beyond forbidding it. That just means what, Simon?
That just means most companies don't have any absentee policies other than forbidding absenteeism. And what that means is the only rule companies have about skipping work is that you're not allowed to skip work.
Yeah, I've never worked for a company like that where they didn't have sick leave. I've only worked for companies that have sick leave. Is this telling us we can't be absent at all? We can't have any sick leave?
No, I don't think so. I think it's saying, like, actually you see this policy, even with sick policies, where, like, if you're away for 2 days in a row, you have to get a doctor's note.
Right.
Or
right.
You're not, you know, I don't know, lots of companies don't have personal days, for example. So you'd have to take a vacation day if you want to do errands or little jobs around the house, things like that.
Right.
Okay, that makes it clear for us, Simon.
And this is in contrast to few companies have presenteeism policies, despite growing evidence of its impact on productivity. So, you know, they don't have any policy regarding this issue.
Mm-hmm. So they do have a few policies about missing work, like you can't do it, but they don't have any policies at all about coming to work sick or coming to work when you shouldn't.
And this lack of a few companies, just saying few companies do, showing it in a negative light. And this is from a study by a person who has a PhD in organizational psychology, which is an interesting field of study. It just is about the application of human behavior in organizations and at work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about the study of how people behave in their job, which is kind of an interesting field of study, actually. And then we see that there are a lot of claims, okay, that have fueled excitement about the subject. And what does it say about this in our article?
Well, so basically it's telling us that the whole reason we're talking about this absenteeism and presenteeism, sorry, mm-hmm. I forgot what it was called, because remember, it's a fake word.
That's right.
The whole reason we're talking about all of this is because there is all of a lot of talk in places like the media, etc., that are telling us that actually this coming to work sick presenteeism is causing much greater productivity problems than people just skipping work from time to time.
Right, and that's, we go back to that word that we've seen before, aggregate, which means, you know, the total amount of something, mm-hmm. when you put it together.
Yeah, and they actually use the term there, fueled by, and that's kind of like it evokes or brings to mind the image of, like, pouring gasoline on a fire. And so you might have very small interest, a very small fire, but all of a sudden someone pours fuel on it or gasoline on it, and it becomes a very big issue.
I know in the 1980s, my closest friend at that time and myself, we worked for two different Canadian companies. Hers did this presenteeism, we wouldn't have used that word at all then, where you kind of had to show up for work and then they sent you home. Whereas my company did the whole absenteeism, trust thing. You took off a sick day, then if it was 2 or 3 days, you needed a doctor's note. Do you know what? She was always sick more than me and longer period of time. I had my one day. I was back at work. She had to show up at work. She had 2 or 3 days. So it's interesting.
Right. So do you think that the actually getting up and forcing yourself to go in adds to the illness factor?
I think so. You know, she was under stress. She was under stress to make it to work on time. She was under stress that she's not feeling well. She didn't know when she went to bed she was going to be sick. Now she's allotted herself the same time to get ready for work. And I guess, you know, she ended up making herself even more sick.
Yeah.
Whereas I had my one day off and I was back at work the next day.
But her presenteeism, like we've talked about, does provide other benefits for her, even if it's there are negative consequences in terms of her going there sick. It might provide benefits socially or in terms of her career because it shows that she's, like, super loyal and, you know.
It's all in perception, isn't
it? And the other thing, then, is that companies, he says here, that are managing presenteeism effectively have a distinct competitive advantage. So there's a real advantage because you're able to avoid these negative costs of presenteeism while hopefully keeping all the other things in place.
So I just want to point out, you know, this is from the Journal of Organizational Behavior. Again, it's how organizations work. And if you look into this field of study, it is quite interesting. Why does this organization promote absenteeism and this organization promote something else?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, let's continue with our last section of the article here. Let's see what the other findings are.
Other findings. People with infectious diseases should stay home or be separated from everyone else. Chronic problems, including back pain, depression, and diabetes, are trickier. But Wallace said such employees may be more reliable with lower turnover due to their need to keep their job and medical benefits. They are cost-effective given the fact that training new employees is enormously expensive. For those reasons, he said, employees with non-contagious illnesses or conditions should be provided special resources to maximize their productivity. A company's decision to allow paid sick leave can be an investment in productivity. John said there's considerable agreement across studies that presenteeism accounts for more aggregate productivity loss than absenteeism.
Well, the very first sentence of this is something that we all have agreed to. We've said this several different times in these 2 days. People with infectious diseases, if you are contagious, you should stay home or be separated from everyone else. And I think that means you should stay home.
Exactly.
Unless you have your own private office and you can close the door.
But again, we all basically agree with that, I think. I mean, the
right.
One place where you see that happening is schools.
Yes.
Schools always have kids who are super sick sent to schools because their parents don't want to deal with child care without the school, right?
Right.
Or they don't have a babysitter or they can't take the day off or something. So schools always have, like, really sick kids lying in spare classrooms and stuff.
But my experience with schools now, and my son-in-law is a high school teacher, is they take temperatures now. And if your kid is sick and you sent your kid to school with a temperature, they're phoning you up and saying your kid has a temperature, they cannot come in. And I know the private schools here in Taipei do that.
But that's because they're private schools. So they have, like, the luxury of setting rules for themselves in a way that public schools don't. So I guess the point just being, most of us would agree that if you have an infectious illness, you just shouldn't be out in public, right?
But now we're looking at something else. We're looking at chronic illness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're bringing up issues like back pain, depression, and diabetes. And they are trickier. And that is true, they are.
They are. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, should we have two different policies?
Well, and this is where you start getting resentment from coworkers.
Yes.
Like if you're staying at home because your back hurts all the time, you know, other people are like, I also have joint pain,
yes.
But I am here, right? And so there's sort of an unhappy group situation results from that kind of sickness, especially over the long term.
Right. Well, I think, you know, and also depression is something that we don't really understand. And in some fields, it's accepted, and in some areas, it's not legitimate, especially in workplaces. So, you know, that's very tricky, as it says here. And also diabetes. You know, if you have diabetes, you really have to be on top of it to regulate it.
Right.
And even if you are, sometimes, you know, it catches you unawares. And so it's also tricky.
Well, and you might have chronic illness for a period. We have employees, no matter where you work, who have cancer. And all of a sudden we're dealing with the issue that they have to go out for chemo or radiation, and they might miss a day or they might miss half a day because whatever their treatment is.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be sensitive to that for sure.
You know, all of that, though, points to, like, a deeper problem with society. Like, if you have cancer and you're taking a morning off for chemotherapy, like, something's wrong with the broader situation there that you're concerned about, like, keeping your job to keep your health benefits or whatever. And that, I think, it points to, like, a much bigger social problem.
Right? I agree, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I've really never heard that. I mean, usually people that are having chemo take a few days off. You can't go back to work.
Yeah.
But that's... Let's continue here. We don't have a lot of time left. Wallace said that employees may be more reliable with lower turnover due to their need to keep their job and medical benefits. That certainly is true.
Yeah, and that, again, is the employees who have these long-term issues like back pain and stuff.
Right, we're talking about these chronic problems, yeah.
They're less likely to quit, so you don't have to pay for retraining, and so it might be worth it for the company to keep them on even if they're not showing up regularly for a longer period of time.
And we might be thinking of the person that has a real chronic pain in their back as somebody who's walking around. It actually might be one of our employees in a wheelchair
because we are going to have disabled employees.
Right. Well, it is. It's definitely cost effective to keep them as opposed to training a new employee. And also, he goes on to say that if employees don't have, or those that have non-contagious diseases or conditions, they should have special resources so that their productivity can be maximized, which means they can do more. They can do the best that they can do. So I think this is interesting. I just assumed that most companies had sick leave, paid
right.
sick leave, but that's not necessarily true.
Mm. I think it all depends on, I guess, what part of the world you're in, what country you're in.
Yeah.
But we mentioned, too, earlier in this program, actually it might have been yesterday, we talked about how even when people do have a certain number of paid sick days, you know, there are times when they're hesitant to take them because, you know, it's early in the year or,
right.
you know, different kinds of situations. So I think if just in general to sum up here, there really isn't any clear way to fix this sort of thing with policy. Right?
That's
so
true.
No matter what your policy is, you're going to swing back and forth between absenteeism or presenteeism. And so, if anything, I guess the lesson we take from this is that we should all feel bad for the HR people at the companies we work at, because no matter what they do, they're going to have difficulty.
Well, the thing that I take away from this is that if you are really sick and you have a fever, which means you're infectious, you really should stay home.
Right.
Because your productivity is going to be down and you're going to do lower quality work. And you're going to be around people who are going to resent having you there.
And you're going to probably pass it on, right?
Right. That's why, yes.
Yeah.
So everybody should take a look at this. I think it is, you know, it is a topic that we all are concerned about. And for companies, for HR people, you definitely should be reading this and thinking about policies that benefit your employees and your company. It's not easy to balance, I don't think.
No.
Okay, well, thank you all for joining us. And again, we invite you to write on our Facebook page and tell us what you think or relate some personal situation that you've encountered in a brief way. And we hope that you will join us again on Advanced Studio Classroom. Bye for now.
Goodbye.
Bye.